Good morning. In our gospel today, we witness a biblical game of telephone. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. The Greeks approach Philip, the disciple, first, and then Philip goes and tells Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip both finally relay their message to the man of the hour. They said, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." A simple enough request, succinct and direct. Nothing of the original message seems to get lost as it's passed down the line of Jesus' entourage. But you wouldn't know it from Jesus' response. Nowhere in this passage do we see Jesus address the original speakers. It's as if these would-be Greek followers weren't even there. Instead, Jesus seems to address the disciples, maybe the crowd gathered around him. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. I imagine the Greeks standing at the back of the line, waiting for the bouncers to wave them forward. This is Jesus' story. After all, the rest of the ensemble, the Greeks, the crowd, even Andrew and Philip, the closest disciples, seem to be nothing but side characters in this story. Like the Greeks who come before Jesus today, sometimes it feels like we, too, must hear the good news secondhand. We might wish to see Jesus, but 2,000 years down the line, we have never had the privilege of a private audience. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. If ever there was a cry for enlightenment, a pure distillation of divine desire in the Gospels, I would choose these words. Maybe you too wish to see Jesus. Maybe you too have wanted an experience of the divine presence that will satisfy your spiritual hunger. I have a hard time putting my own experiences into words. The best thing I can tell you about my encounters with Jesus, my encounters with divine presence, is that they are rarely packaged like I would expect. They're more of a feeling, a gesture, a lightness of being, a resolute assurance in the face of all evidence to the contrary. In the words of the poet David White, "Surely even you at times have felt the grand array, the swelling presence and the chorus crowding out your solo voice. A chorus sings, a presence swells, even if only for a moment, and then silence, almost as if nothing happened." These experiences are few and far between for me, but they have often left me with the distinct feeling that I am not alone. Now, maybe a divine choir is a tad too sentimental, a tad too emotional for you. Maybe for you it is simple knowledge, a well-reasoned, even if at times hazy, belief in a grace beyond the likes of you and I, a mercy with divine purpose and power. Whatever way you slice it, whatever name you give it, we tend to need these reminders, these tethers in space and time. We often need tangible physical experiences to access spiritual divine reality. I bet that's what the Greeks were after. They had heard about a new teacher in town, and they sought him out. Here they were in the very presence of Jesus himself, the one who spoke with authority, the one who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Surely this man would have the answers they sought. And yet, the answers they received weren't quite what they hoped or expected. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Talk about a word of encouragement. No divine chorus here, no assurance that all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well. What Jesus offers here is an escape from the drudgery of the mundane, nor anything resembling eternal bliss. What he offers is the hard and narrow way, the way of the cross on Calvary Hill. This is not what we usually think of when we imagine a mountaintop experience with the divine. "Sir, we wish to see Jesus," they said. Be careful what you wish for. What are we to make of this Messiah, the one who brings us face to face with suffering when we ask to see his face? What kind of enlightenment does he bring when all roads lead to Holy Week with its betrayal, its cross, and shame? About 45 minutes outside of Berlin, Germany, lies a little town called Oranienburg. You can get there by train. Compared to the hustle and bustle of Berlin, it feels quaint, quiet even. Oranienburg was home to the Sachsenhausen concentration camp, one of many during the Second World War, a site of mass starvation, medical experimentation, and unspeakable violence. For a brief period after the war, Oranienburg was controlled by the Soviets. The occupying forces also made use of the facilities for prisoners of war and those they viewed as enemies of the Soviet regime. Today, Sachsenhausen is a public memorial. And if you walk from the entrance gate to the barracks, you will notice a small sign posted just outside the chain-linked fence that marks the camp's perimeter. The sign faces the camp, not the outside. It is meant for those who have visited the memorial, not the people looking in from the other side. In both German and English, the sign informs you that the property next door to the camp has been the site of a training facility for German police since 2006. The sign reads as follows: "The prime educational objective of moving the police academy to this site is commitment to the primary principle of the basic law. Human dignity shall be inviolable." As part of their studies, the students at this police academy learn about the history of what happened at Sachsenhausen and the crimes committed by police under the Nazi regime. The memorial, you see, is a reminder of the German police's failures. It is a living testament that reads, "Never again." What we refuse to face cannot be overcome, my friends. What remains unnamed cannot be redeemed. It is only in telling the truth about ourselves, it is only in admitting our faults that we can hope to avoid the mistakes of our past. It is only in telling the truth about ourselves that we come face to face with the one who claimed to be the way, the truth, and the life. Friends, if you wish to see Jesus, be careful what you wish for. You do not get to pick and choose where he shows up. More often than not, Jesus will show up in the face of those we would rather not see, in the voice of those we would rather not hear. He exposes our collective wounds to the light of day so that true healing can begin. He enters the pit of despair with us so that we may glimpse true, lasting life on the other side. As we near Holy Week, let us turn our gaze toward this Messiah, and let us take comfort in the fact that he has not left us to our own devices. The Christian faith has always been a group project, my friends, and Jesus walks with us every step of the way. Amen.